Easter is a time of great joy in the world. Unfortunately, many in the culture just see it as a time to be able to get together just to merely to have crawfish, or you finally get to have lots of chocolate with all the chocolate Easter bunnies and the eggs and all these fantastic things that come out one time a year, and so we get to stock up on all of those. They can enjoy getting together, enjoying spring break, enjoying all these kinds of things. But sadly, so much of our world has lost the reality of the importance of why we celebrate this holiday, what it means to actually celebrate Easter. Because Easter is not simply a day for us to join together as family and to enjoy good food and good sweets and, you know, to relax a bit and run around the yard hunting plastic eggs, but rather it's to seek after the good Lord, to go with haste and to find him whom our soul loves. This is the call for us for this Easter season as we begin it today, to give ourselves to contemplating our Lord anew, to considering this Easter as if it were the first Easter. It's the call for us every year with every feast. But it's important for us to enter into these things. We're given a little extra bonus help today by not having lights or AC or any of the normal modern conveniences. What I keep hearing from people outside of the back of the church, both last night as well as this morning already, is it felt rather ancient. Good, it is. We usually just have lights and air, but it's always an ancient thing, but it has a bit more mystique in the candlelight and in the quiet of things. There's a beauty to this, of allowing our hearts to contemplate these mysteries, allowing our hearts to be filled with holy joy. The reality of the resurrection of our Lord from the dead changes everything. Everything is different on account of him. Whereas before, all of humanity was more or less kind of in the same boat. The heavens were not opened. The gates were closed. And some might have hope, but some might not. There was uncertainty about the resurrection. There was uncertainty about an eternal life. There was uncertainty about a whole variety of things. The Lord was continuing to reveal things. And so for many hearts, it was simply waiting to understand, to live life as well as one might, and then see what's next, if there was anything at all. But Christ himself has changed this. Whenever Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, even creation itself was rebellious. Thorns and thistles arise. The difficulties of the toiling of the sweat of one's brow, the difficulty of bearing children with increased labor pains. This is the fruits of the fall. And to this, we can add a whole host of others. But the reality is that with Christ, a transformation is taking place. A longing in all of the universe, and every human heart as well, to look forward to the day where these things will cease. And this is what Christ comes to offer to us. To offer us the certainty that this will come to an end, to fill us with joy at that knowledge, and to fill us with hope. This is what Easter gives to us. Not just a temporal joy, not just a temporal kind of a happiness of the feelings of the heart, pleasant emotions, but rather a deep, profound hope. This is what it is to give to the hearts. That's simply to allow us to run around and enjoy ourselves for a bit of time in a day, but to allow our hearts, especially when the cross bears upon us, to know that this too will end. When our blessed Lord was raised up from the dead, it happened in relative silence. Everyone who went to the tomb was expecting there to be a body, even though he had said quite the opposite. He had told them that he would go, that he would be crucified, that he would raise up on the third day. And yet on the third day they go, fully expecting him to still be there. And what joy when they realize that he is not. What shock and confusion. You were looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He is not here. He has been raised. as he said. Whenever they go back and tell the apostles, Peter and the others, St. John's account tells us that Peter and John ran to the tomb. They ran at full speed. And John subtly lets it be known that he won the race. But it's to say that both of them, whenever they heard the good news, it wasn't like, wow, huh, let's go see, and like a casual Sunday walk to back to the tomb. It was something lit fire in their hearts, and they had to go. They were compelled because they knew if he is raised from the dead, as he said, everything has changed. Everything that had been prophesied was taking place right there before their eyes. And they had faith in many of these things, but they still doubted and questioned in their hearts what it all meant. Trying to put all the pieces together and to go, is it really true? Because that they had been expecting for centuries. David anticipated the day. Isaiah and Ezekiel anticipated the day. All the other prophets and the judges anticipated the day. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, all of these great figures, they anticipated the day of the coming of the Lord, in which he would come and he would cast out evil, where he would come and bring healing to the sick, where he would raise up the dead, give sight to the blind, give hearing to the deaf, speech to the mute, where he would do things that were unthinkable and come to be able to consecrate people unto the one single God, to take all nations and to bring them to come to know the one true God. And all of those great persons had gone before, and the Lord had not come. And so why would he come in the ordinary time then? It was a shocking thing, too good to be true. And yet, the truth was right there, written in the tomb. The empty tomb, the place where the veil coloring the face was set to the side, separate from the rest of the cloth. The one wherein our Lord appeared to Mary Magdalene and spoke to her. The time of the resurrection, whenever our blessed Lord walked with the disciples on the way to Emmaus, where he appears to Peter, to the other disciples, a week later to Thomas, who's able to touch the wounds of our Lord and to realize that they've been glorified by the power of the resurrection. That his wounds, rather than leading to decay, have led to life. These are the things that they experience, and this is what our Lord desires of us to receive as well. To receive the newness of these things and to allow our hearts, which so often could be lulled by ordinary life, to be brought back to life with the same fire of Peter and John who sprinted to the tomb to hear and to see these things for themselves, to become witnesses of what has happened. The Lord desires fire in our hearts. And how easy it is for us to allow the Christian message, to allow the gospel message of the resurrection of a man who is God rising up of his own power from the dead. How easy it is to let our hearts grow used to this message, to let it be as another Sunday gospel, to let us hear the thing of, oh yeah, I remember that passage. And to let it be nothing more than simple words on a page and not the reality of a man having raised up from the dead. This is the grace we ask of our blessed Lord today, is to fill our hearts with Easter joy and with Easter hope. To give us that same joy again, that same fire within our spirit that led Peter and John to go run to the tomb. That led the two disciples, whenever they saw our Lord in the breaking of the bread, to sprint back in the other direction after they had gone the full length of the day and it was nighttime and they were settling down for the night to their meal. And then they realized the Lord was with them and they decided, we can't just call people in the morning and let them know. We have to run back and tell them now, in the middle of the night. This is the fire that we ask of our blessed Lord. To recognize what it is that he has done for each one of us. That he has saved us from our sins. He has made a promise to us by virtue of our baptism. That our death is not a final death. that we too will be raised up on the last day. And that if we seek to stay close to him, if we seek to follow after him, and when we fall short of doing so, to turn to him for his mercy and his grace, if we do these things, we will have surety that in the end, we have nothing to fear, but everything to look forward to. The certainty is that with Christ's resurrection from the dead, death is conquered, sin is conquered, pain and suffering are conquered. Everything that brings us sorrow to our hearts and pain, all of these things will cease. This is the joy that Christ offers to us. This is the hope that he longs to place within us, so that whatever may take place in the midst of our world, we may always keep our eyes fixed to the person of Jesus Christ, the God-man who has risen up today from the dead. We might be able to go forth into the world, not simply to be pleasant to one another, but to share the good news that everything is different, that everything is changed, and to allow our lives to say the same.